Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Growth Digger, where we talk about everything growth, not just at the top of the funnel, but across the funnel, be it through creative marketing, through superior sales operations, or customer service and growth strategies. Very fortunate to have Chase Friedman with me as my guest today. Chase has been a lifelong tech enthusiast as well as a digital transformation expert. I believe he's got close to a dozen certifications across technologies like Salesforce, and he has been a solution architect at scale for both small and large companies. And most recently, Chase is the founder at Alpine Anchor, which again, the mission is to help companies adopt AI and really look at transforming their business. Chase, anything you would like to add to your introduction here, please?
Teron, first, thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate that you reaching out and us connecting. But Alpine Anchor is a platform-focused SaaS business where we are focusing on implementing digital workers to take on the AI side, but also pair it up with automation and digital transformation like you talked about.
Great. So let's dive straight into it. I always start the podcast with a question about, tell us an example, give us an example from your work life where you did something that unleashed growth.
Yeah. The first one that comes to mind is a lot of the integrations that I've built between Salesforce and ERPs. And what most folks don't think about is that there's two sides to that piece. You think about quote to cash, right? You have Salesforce, your CRM. I'm focused on sales. I don't know anything about accounting. And then you've got the accounting side of the house that doesn't know a whole lot about sales, right? Why are they selling things in these ways? And usually when you get into these businesses, many of them, they're not really talking a whole lot. It's a, why are we doing it this way? And I had the opportunity, right, to step in the middle of a lot of those scenarios. And what I found and what led to a ton of growth was helping the sales side understand why it was important to sell it in a specific way, not necessarily from a sales strategy, right, or a deck or a proposal, but, hey, here's how we're going to type this into the CRM or pre-build it, create it, set the product, set up CPQ in a specific way so that when we move it over to the ERP system, it flows seamlessly, right? And so where we saw a ton of growth was around taking the what the accounting folks call GAAP, general accounting practice, right?
Acceptable principle, yeah.
Yeah, the rules, right? This is how you should typically do accounting, right? When we took that and we roped that around what the sales folks were doing and automatically started spitting out the right information so we could just pick it up, lift it, and shift it and throw it into the ERP system, that's when we enabled a ton of growth because they were able to close their books faster, right? They were able to close out.
Obviously, the speed of doing business increases with every automation that you do.
Oh,
especially
absolutely.
When you have something which is sales can be very creative when trying to sell stuff. And then accounting is all about compliance. Like, how do you kind of marry the two? The best way to do it is like creating a process that is robust and is built with automation so that you're not leaving any room for human error, and also at the same time kind of reducing the friction between sales and accounting and finance, and also making sure that business can be done as usual but at a much faster speed.
So absolutely, there's two things that kill businesses faster than any book you'll ever read, right? It's I can't get enough money in the door and I can't keep the money from going out the door. And that's where you have a ton of issues that get brought up. And that's a really broad statement, right? Because if I can't sell enough, I don't have any money coming in the door. And if I can't account for the money fast enough, then I have a different kind of problem, right? And if you can't solve those two, it doesn't really matter what you're selling, right? Or it doesn't matter how good your team is, right? If you're not making money, you're going to close up. And if you're not accounting for the money in the proper way, then you're going to close up, right, in some form or fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's critical for every business to really look at the especially if you want to scale. You cannot scale without automation. And the juncture that we are at right now, it used to be the game of the large companies to build automations and invest in technology. But now, especially with the advent of AI and a lot of alternative automations that are available, that one is actually able to even it's leveling the playing field, even for like small businesses. So having an artificial intelligence-based chatbot used to be only like a big business could think about it. But today, I think it's leveling the playing field even more for the smaller businesses.
Absolutely. You have, the way that I've talked about this before is we're at a juncture in technology where you have access to things as an individual that only enterprise, right, 10,000 size people, companies, right, have had access to. And it creates a really interesting proposition for folks, because not only is it something that's brand new that nobody can really claim that they're an expert at, maybe like the super nerds that have been building this stuff for decades.
Yeah.
Right? But nobody is an expert in large language models in terms of implementing them for, we're talking like 2 years, right? In terms of like actual capability to implement this within SMB, right? And the enterprise and the smaller enterprise companies, right? But now what's so interesting is that you have so many opportunities to start up a company that can take on these giant companies that have been around forever, but you can do
a disruption in any industry. Exactly. You can be a disruptor in any space that you are part of today. It doesn't matter. You know,
I like the way you put it, right? It's like we historically, you tackled those problems with more people. Today, you don't need more people. You can just tackle it with automation and AI.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's going to be, and it's going to level the playing field. The amount of innovation that can be done by smaller companies, also the smaller companies, their ability to compete against larger companies is going to be tremendous as well. The same way, I think it's going to be a game changer for large corporations as well. It'll solve a different problem for them. They already have, it'll help them with operational excellence. It'll help them with efficiency and improving the bottom line. You know, a company that is sitting on billions of dollars of revenue, but has hundreds of thousands of people working, and off those tens of thousands of people are doing like mundane stuff that can be automated, so that they can deploy that capital in more interesting ways in other areas that can actually like help them grow. So I think it's going to do good for everyone in the long run. But I think in the next 1 to 2 years, it's going to be a very interesting time, because a lot of small operators will actually benefit more from this technology than the large operators.
You bring up a great point. Even as I'm building out this company from the ground up, I'm building it differently than I would have 5 years ago, right? As I scaled the last organization I was with, it was heavily focused on bringing in more people. Now, as I'm building out Alpine Anchor, I'm realizing that the people that I'm going to hire aren't going to be BDRs, right? They're not going to be heavy coders, right? Traditionally, you're like, I need a coder. Now I'm diving down into an individual skill. I need this one thing. And a great example of something that I can't automate yet, right, is sales, right? This relationship that we're doing on the phone here, not going to get automated, AI'd anytime soon, right? So what we'll see is a lot of these net new companies that are standing up that are tech focused, right, that are AI first, if you will, are going to be built with individuals that don't have like traditional job titles, traditional job descriptions, right? It's going to be extremely unique. And I think we will, I forget, maybe it was Sam Altman or whoever, one of the big wigs, right, said we're going to see one of the first billion-dollar companies that's just owned by one person, right?
Yeah,
I think it's inevitable at this point. Come up with a great enough idea, you bring enough partners on, right, enough vendors, it's going to happen. You're going to see it, right, and it'll be a first, but then there'll be a second and a third and a fourth. It'll happen faster than we think it will.
No, absolutely. I think that's certainly on the horizon. And then anything, since you are in your current role, talking to so many different companies, so many individuals, what would be your one piece of advice that you would like to leave the listeners with that are thinking about adopting automation or artificial intelligence in their business? What is that one thing that you would like to tell them?
Man, I have so many answers to that question.
I'll give you three then.
Let's
What are your top three advice?
I'll do three. Right. My first one that comes to mind is this space is changing so quickly that you need to be careful, right, about diving in too far deep with one individual tool, one individual model, one individual whatever. It's really easy. We were talking about Salesforce, right? It's really easy to get involved with Agentforce and just dive way deep into that. But there's 500 other companies that have a similar idea. I have a similar idea. Maybe you have a similar idea, yeah. Right? But tomorrow, OpenAI, Anthropic, whatever, right? They're going to drop something else, and now the game has changed again. And if you're too far deep into that one thing, now you have to wait for that one thing to catch up. That's probably my first tip. My second one is every time I get into an organization and they say, hey, I want AI, I want automation, I want this, that, one of the first things that I always ask for that's always in my documentation or my contracts is I need access to all of your process documentation. And I can tell you, I can count on one hand how many times people have given that to me out of the gate. It's zero, right? Zero, because nobody has it. Nobody has it.
Yeah, so, they don't have it.
Yeah, nobody has it. And
invest your time and energy in that and make sure that you have it documented. You have your processes documented and you have an understanding.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The third one is, this is something that I was chatting with a guy about. If you are in the tech space, right, it's really easy to get pigeonholed into, I'm an AWS guy, right, or I'm Google Cloud or whatever. Wherever your infrastructure is, even in the CRM space, right, it's I'm a Salesforce guy. Guess what? Something is going to come along that is better, faster, stronger. And a lot of folks have been doing this for a while in the integration space. It's around this idea of a common data model.
Yeah. Right?
Everybody has contacts. Everybody has customers, accounts, opportunities. There's a common data model. A lot of folks tried to do or are trying to do the data warehouse deal. But what I would focus on if you are in the tech space is somebody gave me this idea. Using infrastructure as code, tools like Pulumi and all the other ones out there, is build it in a way where you can move your stuff, maybe not instantly, but overnight.
Seamlessly. Yeah.
Drop AWS for Google Cloud. And this guy that I was talking with, I don't want to put him in the limelight here, but he was talking about, we built it out that way because 1 month he would get $100,000 in credits from AWS, and then Microsoft would want to woo him over and they'd say, hey, I'll give you $200,000 next month. So he just moves his infrastructure from one spot to the other, wherever the best price is. And I thought that was genius. The moment he told me that, I was like, oh man, I got to go rebuild all my stuff so I can make that happen. Anyway, it's a little more, that's a little more.
Being lean in your, and flexibility built in your, and I think what you said about data, I think that is also goes hand in glove with this, that make sure that you have the data organized and ready to move when you want it to move to a different platform or a different system, because you don't know where the best use of that data will come in the future. Having that, or because right now that's what people are struggling with when they're trying to implement AI. AI is going to only be as good as the data that it is sitting on. If your data is not in great shape, it's not going to get you the best results. In fact, it could get you the wrong results if your data is messy. I think that's going to be the way forward. Every company, big or small, even for smaller businesses, obviously it's easier for them to organize data because it's a much smaller set of data and less complex of a process and less complex of a tech architecture and tech stack. But at the end of the day, I think companies from this day forward have to think about manage data, how do they store data, how do they, the common data model that you mentioned, how do they bring it all together? And it's done in a way that it's easy to transpose it to another system.
So you have your data is your gold, right? If you don't have any, you got a different problem. But if you have it and it's not any good, you can't gain any insight from it. Every time I get into another Salesforce org and I see a 500 plus field object with hundreds of thousands of records, it's a realization that it's really easy to get good data in the beginning, but then not keep it clean. So it's not just do it out of the gate, but it's consistent. We got to be consistent about it.
You have to have it top of your mind throughout the perfect. Thank you, Chase, for being a wonderful guest.
Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.